Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Hello and welcome. It's Sunday. You're tuned into the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, Tim Dennis. Hello, Tim.
Hello.
We've got Parashare stories coming up in a bit. And I know we've got a couple stories that have been called in this week. We'll try to work those in on today's episode. But or do you want to hold some and put a bunch more in next week? What do you want to do here, Tim?
You know, that's a good question. We might have to play that by ear.
All right. Well, maybe we'll play some. Maybe we won't. That's just the way we are. We kind of tease that way. But remember, you can call our Beyond voicemail. It's 651-300-4977. B, Voices from Beyond. And call us. Tell us your paranormal experiences. And if you can do it in about 3 minutes, tell us your cool, concise, strange, funny, scary, touching, weird paranormal experiences with ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot, psychic phenomena, monsters, myths, legends, Ouija boards. We want to hear it all. And all you have to do is pick up the phone, call us 651-300-4977. I say we do this, Tim. Let's hold off some more calls till next week and do a bigger segment with the callers, because I've enjoyed hearing all of the calls. And I know this week they had a system down for a while, so we didn't get as many. Okay. Why don't we just do that and we'll process them all together? Would that work for you?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Good deal. Well, we do have a brand new Theater of the Mind today that we'll work into the show. And we, because of our special guest yesterday with Diamond Dallas Page, we're kind of splitting up the Parashare Supernatural news this week. As you know, we had Diamond Dallas Page with us yesterday. If you guys missed it, check it out. A fascinating, motivational moment with him, hearing about some interesting and kind of miraculous healings in what he's been doing. And his interest in the conspiracy theories, supernatural, paranormal, and UFOs. That was yesterday with the new Supernatural news, which has been in abundance lately. A lot of weird stuff going on. Today, we're going to do an interview, and then we're going to share some of your stories. I've got a bunch of your emails pulled up. And remember, you can also email your stories directly to me. If you're not the kind that wants to leave a voicemail or you're a bit shy, email your stories to dave@darknessradio.com. And don't be afraid to use paragraphs and commas and periods. You can do that. I have faith in you. But Dave, I'm doing it from my phone. Here's the thing, Tim. I don't know if you know this, but on the phone, they've added commas and periods and exclamation points and question marks now.
You get out of here, Dave.
And a space bar. Now, so you can actually put paragraphs in when you're typing a message from your phone. Did you know that?
Now, Dave, let's not get carried away. Those phones have blocky little letters that are hard to type, and sometimes the little phones get carried away.
Zach Morris, you've got to get rid of your big brick cell phone and get in with the new crowd. Get one of them their iPhones, Tim, or
I do.
One of them droids.
I have one of those iPhone Xs.
Really?
Yeah.
See, don't you have commas and periods and exclamation points so much?
Well, I do, Dave, and I'm not a Neanderthal, if you will. I know how to do all that, but I'm just saying.
Very pretentious way to say Neanderthal. Thank you.
Well, I've been watching the Discovery Channel. Yeah.
Knock it off. I don't like when you're smarter than me. Well, let's get into today's interview. And this, I've been excited to talk to this lady. She is fascinating. She's an evidential medium, and she has a really unique way of getting out there to the world, which I thought was fascinating. She we call her the co-medium, Tim. She is out there doing her work, but she does a lot of it at comedy stores and shops and what do you call them? Comedy bars, Tim. I don't know. I don't get out often. I need to get out more often, apparently.
Yeah.
Cindy Ikeza joining us on the line right now. Cindy, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We like talking to mediums on the show. We don't do much in the way of readings anymore. It just got to be kind of like a forlorn, lonely hearts club kind of thing. And should I quit my job? Should I quit my job? Should I date this guy that's beating me, or should I leave him? And most of it just seemed like you don't need the other side to weigh in on that. Do you find that that's what a lot of your clients come to you with, is not really stuff that they need ghosts or the other side to weigh in on? It's just they really need somebody who will just affirm their, you know, belief already and help them make a decision?
Well, you know, honestly, I do more mediumship readings than I do psychic readings. I can do both, but most of my clients come for mediumship, which is contacting somebody who has passed away. And the events that I do in comedy clubs, it's all mediumship, you know? So I do some psychic stuff, but a lot of people don't know the difference between a psychic and a medium, right? Psychics pick up on past, present, and future, and the stuff that you were just talking about, and mediums talk to people who have passed away. So I think it's important for people to understand the difference between the two. And if they're coming to see one of my events, it's mediumship.
Well, but here's what we've noticed. Even with the mediums we've had on the show, when people want to connect with their dead loved ones, it's always, you know, are you proud of me? Should I be with this guy, mom, grandpa, grandma? You know, I mean, it's still the same kind of psychic questions that we've seen. And that's why we kind of strayed away from doing any type of readings for quite a while. It just got to be redundancy.
Well, and it can happen that way too, right? And so, but you know, the way, so evidential mediumship, I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory. It's a style of mediumship that is practiced by spiritualists. I'm not actually a spiritualist myself, but it's really where you get really specific evidence. So at an event, basically what happens is I'll get somebody from the other side, connect with them first, get as much evidence as I can, find where I'm going. And then I don't really allow the people in the audience to ask me questions or feed me evidence. I actually don't want them to say much at all other than yes or no, right? And then I just give evidence to show that life does exist after death. That's the point of evidential mediumship. And then I go around and do that for, you know, 90 minutes in the audience. So there's not as much of a back and forth in that sense. I just kind of give the evidence and I go, right, and move around the room as much as I can in 90 minutes with as many people on the other side as I can.
Personally, I think it's genius, the place that you're doing these mediumship readings, because it seems like it's perfect, it's intimate, it's big enough, but it still gives you that ability to connect. But do you fear that because you're playing at a lot of these comedy clubs, people don't take you seriously or think it's going to be a, you know, stage hypnotist fun show as opposed to an actual mediumship program?
No, initially I got a little bit of pushback in the mediumship community because people would say, oh, you're not working in a spiritual place. I'm like, well, everywhere is a spiritual place. You know, that just, right. And the spirits are everywhere, you know? So initially I got a little bit of pushback, but no, I don't really encounter that much because, you know, I'm using the comedy clubs as a venue to do mediumship. And I think it's really, really a great venue to do mediumship in because a lot of people that have never seen a medium before, which is honestly 85% of my audience at most events, they don't want to go to a metaphysical store. They don't want to go to a hotel conference center. They want to go somewhere where they can have an experience for the first time, have a drink, have something to eat, hang out with their friends, and be relaxed. So I don't feel that people think I'm making light of death at all. I do have a sense of humor, but people on the other side have a sense of humor too. And I think laughter is a great medicine. And I think it's important for people to walk away from an event feeling uplifted, lighthearted, feeling like they got some healing, because that's the point of the work, right?
Right.
I think sometimes what we're seeing on a lot of, you know, I say the Long Island Medium, Tyler Henry, all that stuff. It has a more lighthearted approach, which I think is good. But what a lot of people relate mediumship to is like the show medium, the show The Ghost Whisperer, which is fine, but it's kind of scary. So people have this idea that it's a scary thing, or The Exorcist, or all these horror movies, right? And it's way more subtle than that, and it's not like that, you know? I mean, I'm not saying that those things don't happen, because they do, but it's, you know, few and far between where you're seeing those really horrifying experiences, in my opinion, you know.
So. Well, you know, it's interesting to me because I've actually been contacted by probably 5 or 6 comedy clubs in the last few years that think they're haunted. And, you know, the comedy store in Los Angeles, there's many stories from the comedians and the audience alike that have seen weird things. Now, I know I've spoken to Pauly Shore, and he and his brothers don't believe that it's haunted, but he said he's had plenty of entertainers come back and tell him differently. When you go into these locations, they are so rich with emotion, right? Because people, as you said, some people are going there because they're in a blue mood and they want to laugh. Some are going there and just uproariously having fun. You know, the chaotic version of the comedian's personalities are so depressive and anxiety ridden and then funny at the same time. Does that ever overwhelm you going into a landlocked location like that where there is so much chaotic energy?
No, I mean, to be honest with you, Dave, I rarely do I feel so overwhelmed and taken back that I can't do my job or I feel like I'm in a bad place. I mean, there have been some situations where that has happened to me, but not in comedy clubs, but like, I think, you know, we've spoken before about going through some really haunted locations where I have felt that, but in comedy clubs, no, I haven't felt that so much. I do know that, I have talked to some employees of the different comedy clubs that think that their location is haunted and it probably does have activity. You know, I mean, there are people that have died in comedy clubs. Some of the buildings are old theaters. I mean, there's so many different possibilities as to what could be happening in that location. And a couple of the clubs I work at are really old historic buildings. So there's a lot of history. There were fires there. There were, you know, people that committed suicide in the buildings. There were old factories. I mean, it's pretty fascinating. So it's worth investigating. I think you should do it. You should go out and do some paranormal investigation at comedy clubs.
We have actually at a couple of them. And it's been very strange. As you know, you can see that the guy running it thinks it's kind of funny, but it's also unnerving of what they're running into. And we've had some, you know, interesting electronic voice phenomena and strange things occur while we've been there. Lights going on and off on stage while we were in a different part of the area, and we're the only ones left in there at night. So it's been kind of cool to have that happen. You know, another thing that a lot of mediums have told us through the years, Cindy, is that ghosts seem to like places like bars and places where they used to kind of get their fix and their vice. When you go in to do these mediumship readings, are you running into a lot of just kind of hangers-on ghosts, you know, barfly ghosts, as opposed to the spirits of the people that are actually, you know, attached to the live patrons in the audience?
No, that doesn't. I mean, it's not that those people aren't there, but that's not, you know, it's very, very rare that I'll do an event where nobody in the audience can claim who's coming through because it's somebody who's just hanging out in the club. I mean, can that happen?
Oh, yeah, I didn't mean that specifically. When I'm asking you the questions, I'm not putting you under the gun of, boy, are you ever afraid your show sucks? That's not what I mean at all.
No, I didn't take it that way. I didn't take it that way, But no, because I do think that those people do hang out there, or they're, you know, they like being around an environment where there is drinking and smoking, and you can see that sometimes, you know, but no, and I didn't take it that way, but I always believe that, you know, as a medium, I should be able to connect with the audience, regardless of whatever other spirits are hanging out in the club, you know what I mean? So that's where I was going with that.
And for those of you out in California and the West Coast, our guest is going to be at Rancho Cordova tomorrow, Monday, July 30th at 7:30 p.m. at Tommy T's. And then Irvine, California on Tuesday, July 31st at 7:30 p.m. at the Improv. So you can check out her website, which is Medium Cindy Kaza, KAZA.com. And get information on where you can see her. And boy, I'm looking at your schedule. My God, how do you have time to breathe? You're so busy.
I don't know. Some days I look at my schedule and like, what am I doing? How am I going to do this? And you just, you know, I love my job so much that I think it looks overwhelming. And sometimes it looks overwhelming to me, but you just keep going and it just happens, you know? I adopted a little Chihuahua, so that's made life a little bit more fun on the road. She goes everywhere with me. So it's a, you know, being on the road can be lonely sometimes. Now I have a little partner in crime. Maybe she'll do some ghost hunting with me, my Chihuahua Kiki.
Very cool. Hey, and she'll be all over, folks. I see Richmond, Virginia coming up, Virginia Beach, Boulder, Colorado, Denver, Atlanta, Georgia, New Hampshire, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I might have to swing out and see you at that point. You're right down the road from us. Omaha, Nebraska, Boy, you're going to be all over New Mexico. Texas. I've got a bunch of our friends out in Texas. So I'll make a mention that you're going to be in Addison, Texas on Wednesday, September 5th at the Improv. Houston, Texas, Thursday, September 6th at the Improv. Because I know we've got a high contingent of Texas paranormal fans out there tuning in, and they love to see and check out new guests like this. And boy, you know, again, kind of looking around, I've enjoyed seeing all the videos of you pop up from TMZ to YouTube and beyond doing this. Does it feel weird to be under that scrutiny? And I mean, to have these abilities and be able to do the things you do and then kind of be thrust into the spotlight. Does it ever, does it ever mess with you and the perspective of what you're there to do? Or do you have to keep yourself in check on a regular basis of, hey, this isn't about look at me, as opposed to, hey, I'm here to share these messages. I'm here to help you connect, because I'm mm-hmm. positive Tim and I would make it all about us. It would be all about look at me, look at me.
No, that's a really good question, Dave. I mean, it isn't about me. It's about me giving messages. But there is that point where, you know, you're doing an event and then there's a lot of pressure on you, like, oh, well, this has to go well, because if it doesn't go well, then, you know, it doesn't represent mediumship well. So there are all these different factors emotionally that play into it. But at the end of the day, I always have to check myself and after an event say, okay, you know, that wasn't my best event, but what was going on that day with me? Was I tired? Was I, you know, there's all these things that kind of tie into it. So, but no, it isn't about me. It's about giving the messages. And I think for anybody in the public eye, you really have to keep yourself in check, especially in this field, because I've seen it with even, you know, people, colleagues of mine, where it just gets out of control. The ego gets in the way, and then you lose perspective as to why you're actually doing what you're doing. And it happens, you know? So
are you ever afraid now, or has it become so, second nature to you that you're not surprised or shocked or frightened by things that come through?
You know, I'm always amazed at the other side. I'm not amazed at myself. I'm amazed that this is even happening. Like, I'm just think it's so cool. You know, the fact that we can do paranormal investigations, capture things in audio, mediumship happens, all this stuff. You know, there are times where I do get really, and I don't want to say freaked out, because it's not that I'm scared, but especially when I'm doing things with like unsolved murders, or you're bringing through people that have been tragically killed, and you're talking to the family in the audience, and you're hearing this person say to you, this person killed me, this is what happened. And the family is just waiting for that validation because they had an idea that it was, that's what happened, right? So those sorts of things really just blow my mind. I'm like, gosh, I hope I really helped this family. And the fact that the people on the other side are coming through to say, hey, we know what you think happened, and you're right. And you're right about who you thought killed me, right? Like, that stuff blows my mind. But it's just, I'm just so grateful every time I do an event that I'm able to bring the information through, right? I'm in awe of the other side, because it's so intelligent over there. And as you know, you've done this work for a long, long time. And I'm sure you've seen things that are just baffling and mind blowing to you, but it's not that I'm surprised that it's, I guess nothing really would surprise me completely, but I'm always amazed by what's possible on the other side. Does that make sense?
Oh, certainly. Right. Yeah, completely. Now, you're an evidential medium, and I know we've spoken to different mediums throughout the history of our show, but just to reiterate, what exactly does an evidential medium do? And are all mediums evidential in a sense, or is there a specific delineation between what a medium and an evidential medium can do?
Yeah, you know, it's the term evidential mediumship is really just a term. It's just used to describe the style of mediumship that I studied, which I studied at the Arthur Findlay College and with the spiritualist community. So, I mean, all mediums should be evidential. And sometimes I wonder, like, do I even need to put evidential medium in front of, you know, evidential in front of medium? Because sometimes it even confuses people more, because then we should be evidential, right? But really, it's more of a structure of the mediumship. So if you come to one of my events and you see me work, I always get 3 to 5 pieces of evidence before I go to the person in the audience. Because what that's doing is saying, hey, I'm not just going to and cold reading you and making assumptions based on your appearance as to who I think should be on the other side. I've already gotten who died, hopefully their name, how they died, something else about them. And then I'm going, trying to go direct in the audience to the person that I feel pulled to, right? So it's hopefully eliminating some skepticism, because we get accused of cold reading people all the time, right? And that sucks. I don't like that, you know? So evidential mediumship is just more of a structure and a style of mediumship from really the spiritualist community, spiritualism, the religion. And that's why it's called that. So I guess, I don't know, all mediums should be evidential. I mean, they definitely should, but I think it's just more of a structure of mediumship, basically, you know?
Well, and I want to find out more about you. I want to know when this started for you, because I think that's an interesting aspect to so many, you know, people's stories. And how does it ignite? What is that spark that makes us aware that there's abilities that we have that are different than others? We're back with our guest, Cindy Kaza, and we're talking about her life and career. When did you realize that you had these abilities, Cindy?
Well, the first experience that I can remember having was when I was 10 years old. And I don't think, and I actually, it's not think, I know I didn't understand what was happening at that time. I saw a girl who I used to walk home from school with named Amber. She died in a car accident. And after she died, I saw her standing directly next to my bed like The Sixth Sense. And then I remember pulling the covers over my head, and I pulled them back and she was still there. So it was terrifying, right? And right. So for a long time, I tried to pretend I didn't have abilities. I didn't understand what was happening. I was super sensitive, had a lot of anxiety. I had premonitions. But it really honestly wasn't until, you know, my early 20s that I decided to really further investigate kind of what was going on with me. And for a long time, I tried to kind of self-medicate my abilities away and my anxiety and my sensitivity by drinking. And then when I quit drinking, I realized, it's still here, you know, so I need to figure this out. And that's when everything started happening for me. So I started reading about metaphysics more, studying metaphysics. And then it just kind of happened. So for me, it wasn't just, I was 10, I had an experience and I always knew this is what I was going to do. It wasn't like that for me. I actually tried to push it away for a really, really long time. So that's my journey, you know, and if you had asked me 12 years ago, if I would be talking to dead people in comedy clubs for a living, I would have, you know, thought you were the craziest person I'd ever met in my life. But I'm really glad. I'm glad that I found my path, because I've never felt more, at peace with who I am now that I've embraced this ability. And I think that that's something to be said for people who have this intuition and this strong sixth sense. You know, it's okay to be who you are. It's okay to have this ability. It's more common than I think what we're told or what people realize, you know? So.
Now, when you had this moment and you saw this friend of yours that had passed, did she speak to you? Did she try to communicate, or did she realize that you were just terrified and freaked out by the situation and leave it at that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So she was just standing there staring at me, and I was so scared that it just went away. Like after I pulled the covers over my head, pulled them back and pulled them over again, and then she was gone. And so, you know, I think sometimes people on the other side want to scare the crap out of us, but I don't think she wanted to scare me. I think she just wanted to be seen and to be heard. But because I was so scared and unable to allow that to happen, I think, you know, that she just left me alone, you know? So in hindsight, 2020, I mean, had I known what I know now, I wouldn't have been scared. I probably would have just talked to her, you know? But I think what the other thing that a lot of people don't realize is, the communication is mind to mind most of the time. So a lot of people will tell me, oh, I saw my dad standing there, but he wasn't saying anything. He was just staring at me. Does that mean he's in a bad place? I'm like, no, the communication with the other side a lot of times is more telepathic. It's mind to mind, or it's feeling to feeling. So I didn't even understand how to communicate with somebody on the other side then, you know? And now I know a whole lot more about how all of this works.
In kind of realizing that you didn't, you know, not everybody had this, did you ask your family about it at first? Were you just kind of keeping it? Did it feel like a dirty little secret to you?
Well, yeah, I mean, no, I didn't talk to anybody about it, you know, and even up until maybe I was about ready to put myself out there publicly, I really didn't tell my family about what I was doing, you know, because I was afraid of their judgments on me, or they would think I was completely crazy. But I'm really, really lucky because I have a very supportive family. I mean, I haven't had a lot of pushback from my family at all, which has been really, really awesome. And I'm fortunate in that sense. But yeah, no, I didn't talk to anybody about my experiences at all until, you know, I was older. So that was difficult. And I always encourage parents that have children that are really, really open, to allow their children to talk about their experiences and to engage them and to tell them it's okay and that they're not crazy and that, you know, they have a gift, because children that are super intuitive and psychic need to hear that. They need a place where they can talk about their experiences openly without judgment, right?
Do you feel, you know, and sadly, your story is very reminiscent of many of our friends that we've spoken to that are mediumistic, that they end up self-medicating themselves to quiet. And in some cases, they found that made it worse because then they couldn't really even shield themselves. Is that what you were seeing? Or would you just drink yourself to the point of oblivion where you couldn't even sense, you know, regular things, let alone the other side?
Well, I wouldn't say it was that bad, but I do agree that it actually did at times make things worse because I couldn't shield myself. And I had a couple of very scary experiences while I was intoxicated where I mean, it was scary. I felt like I was being, for lack of a better term, attacked by something on the other side. It was only two times in my life where I've been horrified to that extent, and it was when I was under the influence of alcohol. So I guess I have to ask myself, was it alcohol induced, or was I just, my guard was so low because I was drinking? You know, I don't know, because when you're under the influence of drugs and alcohol, a lot of different things can happen, you know? So.
And when you're in that position and seeing that, do different level entities make themselves known to you that you normally would be more shielded against?
Yes. So that was my experience with when I was drinking. I had a couple of experiences with entities that were more powerful and that scared the crap out of me. And I haven't had that experience since I've quit drinking, not at that level, not where I felt like I couldn't protect myself or, you know, so absolutely. I feel that it's not a good idea if you're in this field to drink yourself into oblivion or to have substance abuse issues, because you really, really do allow yourself to be more open to things that probably aren't in your best interest, you know?
There are a lot of people out there that feel the stirrings or believe that there's something sensitive about them. As somebody who actually has this ability, and it wasn't just innate. I mean, you had it, you had the basics, but you've spent a lot of time honing your craft and actually going and learning about it and schooling yourself on that. What would be your recommendation to someone who thinks that they may have these abilities opening up in them to really put it to the test? And maybe I should ask it this way too. And the reason I ask it that way is Tim and I meet a lot of people that claim to be mediums or psychics. And I think, you know, my red solo cup might be a little bit more psychic than they are. I know we've been told we all have the ability, but some of us have it at such an unbelievably low level, but they think that they are, you know, the John Edwards of the world and the Cindy Kazas and people that have, you know, shown and made themselves a name doing this. First of all, in your opinion, does everybody really have this ability?
Yeah, I think everybody has the ability to a degree. I always say everyone can play the piano. Not everybody's going to be a concert pianist, right? We all have the ability to have these experiences. But for people who are kind of opening up or thinking they're having these really, you know, or thinking I'm a medium, this is my path, I highly, highly recommend finding a mentor, somebody you can study with, taking some classes, learn to understand energy, understand metaphysics, understand chakras, auras, all that stuff. I mean, I've taken classes in a lot of different areas of this work. Not that I utilize all of those things. Like, I've studied trance, but I don't utilize trance very much because it scares the crap out of me. We talked about that, right? I've studied healing. I've studied a lot of different things, but it's important for people to understand what's actually happening. And I really think it's unfortunate when people have an awakening or have an experience and they suddenly think they're a professional medium or they're going to do this. They go out and they start giving information to people without using proper etiquette. I mean, they just don't have boundaries. And that not only does that do a disservice to our field, but it can harm people. Right? If the medium or the person claiming to be a medium doesn't have a foundation on this work or understand what's happening, and then they're suddenly going around giving readings to everybody, it's not a good idea. And they also don't understand how to, control their ability or set boundaries with the other side or turn their ability down, because you really shouldn't be walking around open all the time, all day, every day. It's not healthy. It's not healthy for your energy, you know, for your mind. So there are a lot of things that I feel need to be understood before going out into the world saying I'm a medium.
Thank you. Thank you. I think that's such an important message that you just shared. And listen, it's not a slight against all of you that feel this ability and feel this urge and want to help. Make sure you understand what you're doing. Listen, I see somebody wounded and I want to help, but just because I've watched, doctor shows doesn't mean I'm a doctor and doesn't mean I should be the first one to leap in and try to do surgery on somebody who's cut themselves open. Try to do what you can to stave it off, but maybe not jump in full fray. Don't throw yourself into this where you're giving information and things that could really upset the apple cart for others. With that said, do you ever get unsettling information, bad information? And I don't mean like, what's Dave's favorite color? Blue. No, it's not. It's purple. But I mean, like, where they want to tell you to share something that, is really uncomfortable. And do you ever hold it back? Do you ever think, yeah, no, that's not my job. I'm not saying that. Or do you just release it all?
No, I mean, I totally use discernment. That's the thing. That's the other thing that people that are just opening up, sometimes they think, oh, well, I'm hearing it, so I need to share it all. You don't. Like, if I'm hearing something like from somebody on the other side saying, hey, yeah, her husband's having an affair, you need to tell her right now. I need to use discernment. I don't run around doing that. And secondly, not everybody on the other side is at the same level of soul progression, and they're not always telling you the exact truth. And you have to know the difference between what you're feeling, right? And you have to know when sometimes not telling people things is more healing than just telling them everything you're healing. What if the person I'm speaking to and doing a reading for has severe depression, and I just heard from the mom on the other side that her husband's cheating on her? If I tell her that, how do I know she's not going to go home and make a really foolish decision and decide to take a bunch of pills or do something to harm herself? It is so important as people in this field to use discernment and to know boundaries and to know what's helpful to somebody and what isn't helpful to somebody,
as the other side of it though, do you ever have to sit there and see, this is where it would start to drive me crazy. I would overanalyze myself to death. I would think, well, maybe I have to tell her because this may be the thing that gets her out of her depression and changes her life, turns it around. Maybe she's depressed because of this guy, because he's an anchor and she's looking for that moment. How do you, what's that line? And if the dead are coming to you with a message, is there something important about that message? Or sometimes, like any conversation with a relative, sometimes there's good information, sometimes there's just blathering stuff that doesn't need to be said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, it would depend on what the vibe in the reading was. If somebody was coming to me to talk specifically about that particular situation, I would tell them what I was feeling. But there's also a way to give a message using discernment that's healing. So if you could hear mom saying, oh, guess what? Her husband's cheating on her. He's been doing it for 15 years. You don't have to say it exactly that way. You can say, hey, your mom's here. She's showing me there might be some issues in your marriage. There might be some worries about infidelity, right? There's a way to deliver something that's less shocking and hurtful to the person getting the message. So that's the point I'm making too, is that there's always a way to give a message. Even if you're hearing it a certain way on the other side, there's a way to deliver the information to the people alive that is healing and helpful, but not super abrasive. Does that make sense to you?
Completely. Like, no, I
got to use
that.
Discernment.
Well, let's do this. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break and turn it over to one of our favorite segments of the week. And we'll be back with our guest in just a few moments. But ladies and gentlemen, it's time to open the Darkhives as we go into a new theater of the mind.
Today's Theater of the Mind real-life encounter comes from Kurt Bohampton, Riders on the Storm. Driving along a lonely stretch of highway on a dark, rainy November evening back in 1997, I was returning from a friend's get-together at a local bar when, up ahead, through the rain, I could see someone walking along the highway. My heart went out to this poor guy. It was a generally crappy night, and the rain was pretty steady and seemed to be getting harder. As I got closer, I recognized the guy from a place I used to work. He was no one I hung out with or would consider a friend, but the kind of person that was always around and very recognizable. I slowed my roll and pulled alongside him, lowering my passenger window, and I turned down my radio. I was met with the sound of the rain pelting my roof. The wind was picking up outside, and over the sound of the storm, I called out, "Hey! Hey, it's Kurt from Cineplex!" He stopped, turned, and faced me. His face was deeply lined with sadness and obvious frustration to his current situation. "Come on! Come on, get in and get warm," I instructed him. For a moment, he hesitated, and then grabbed the door handle and sloshed into the seat, slamming the car door behind him. "Hell of a night to get caught out in this crap. Did your car break down?" I asked. He just shook his head, sending a gentle spray of rainwater around my car. "Oh, just out for a stroll when this hit?" He sheepishly nodded. "Okay, well, where can I drop you?" was my next question. He lifted his hand silently, just pointing forward. I started having visions of every bad horror movie under the sun. A rainy night, a silent stranger, and a dark, dimly lit road unfolding before us. I tried to start a conversation, but was generally met with an occasional grunt, nod, or gesture. Lightning flashed and thunder rolled, and up ahead I saw another poor lost soul, standing alongside of the road in the downpour. It was a woman. I spoke to my silent partner. "Well, she seems harmless. Should we give her a ride, too?" With that, his vision moved up from his coupled hands in his lap to the road ahead, and he let out a shocked, "Oh my God." He then said in a whispery voice, "Please, slow down." Which I did. We were now alongside the drenched woman. She lowered slightly to look in. I signaled to the back seat and hit the unlock button, and was surprised when my passenger reacted. He clicked the lock button. Well, maybe he didn't hear me unlock the car, so I nudged the unlock button again. Once more, he clicked the locks back into place, never once taking his gaze from the woman on the road. There was a bright flash of lightning and a loud thunder crack that made me jump as the woman placed her hand against the glass of the passenger window. He then raised his hand slowly and did the same from inside the car. She looked confused. Her face implored us to let her in. With that, I clicked the unlock. This time, there was another moment of hesitation before my passenger re-engaged the lock. His hand was still firmly against the window, and he turned slowly to face me. Tears began to well and pour out of his eyes as he choked back a sob and said,
We have to go. Please take me home."
I looked past him to see the face of the woman standing there. "Hey man, we can't leave her out there like this. She'll catch her death out there." "Too late," he said as he dropped his eyes toward the floor and then slowly back to the window. There was another flash of lightning that brilliantly lit our surroundings, and I looked deeply into the face of the dripping stranger outside my car. And then, without explanation, she was gone. I mean, gone, gone. She didn't run off. There was nowhere to run off to. She just vanished. "What the fu—" I barked out. "We have to leave," he interrupted me. "Please, please, just go. This won't end well if we stay." I pushed down on the gas and we were off. I looked back through the rearview mirror, half expecting, half praying to see her still there, standing alongside that roadway. "Okay, care to tell me about what happened back there? Love affair gone wrong? Did you two have a fight tonight? And that's what you were out here looking for?" "No," he responded. "We had a fight. She took off. But she never made it home."
"Well, what the hell, man? Shouldn't we go back for her?"
"A truck driver hit her. She was killed instantly," he said in a broken, monotone, emotionless voice.
What? Dude, we just saw her. Are you telling me I just saw a goddamn ghost? Please. Please just take me home, he insisted. We continued on. As we turned onto his street, he said, it was 3 years ago tonight. They had a fight. She left in a huff and was struck and killed by an over-the-road trucker that had nodded off for a few seconds. Ever since then, he would go walk that stretch of road on the anniversary. He had never had an encounter until tonight, he told me. He was destroyed. He never in a million years expected that. He let out another sob. Thanks for the ride. And I glided into his dark driveway. The lights were off inside the house. The sky crackled with light and roars of thunder again as he exited my car. Thanks. Sorry for getting your car all wet. That's all he had to say as he exited the vehicle. Seriously? After all that, he's sorry for getting the car wet? I couldn't sleep at all that night. I tossed and I turned. I was excited. I was freaked out and fascinated by all that I had seen. 2 days later, on the news, they reported a suicide. Lo and behold, I find out it was my cold, wet passenger. The thing we saw that night must have broken him, I thought to myself. And then I heard the statement that hit me. It actually dropped me down to my seat. He had been presumed dead for at least 2 weeks, the coroner reported.
Beyond the darkness.
Hey, we're back. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. Beyond the Darkness is on the air. And remember, you can continue the fun with me every weeknight, Monday through Friday on Midnight in the Desert. The best in anomalous talk radio. You can get information right now, and you only have a few days left to subscribe for our special deal. In the month of July, we're giving back. That's right. It's $4.99 a month to subscribe to Midnight in the Desert. And when you subscribe for your first time ever in the month of July, we're going to donate $4 of your subscription price to Second Harvest Heartland. Second Harvest Heartland has a way of feeding people like nobody else. Every $1 we bring them supplies 3 square meals to a person in need. 3 square meals. For just $1, your buying power has never been stronger. So you get a show that you're going to absolutely love, and you know that your first month subscription is going to go to help people. But what about that other 99 cents, Dave? That seems kind of hinky. How come you don't give them the whole thing? Well, unfortunately, we still have some administrative costs. But check this out. We have a couple of listeners who have agreed to help us out. So one listener, great guy named Mike, has stepped up and said that he would pay the extra 99 cents for the first 100 people that signed up. Guess what? We're over that number already. So he's picking up the slack on that to cover all of that extra 99 cents. And then our other buddy, Bart, is going to pick up every subscription after 100. So if we get another 100, 200, 500, 1,000, he'll make that donation on behalf of the show and on behalf of all of you as well. So we can go a long way to help. We're almost at 200 brand new subscribers, and we'd love for you to be a part of it as well. Check it out at midnightinthedesert.com/hunger. Midnightinthedesert.com/hunger. You get the best in paranormal talk radio with Beyond the Darkness Saturdays and Sundays. Now you can get the best in anomalous talk radio every Monday through Friday with Midnight in the Desert. And don't forget, you want more Tim and Dave? You get more Tim and Dave every Tuesday on True Crime Tuesday. And how do you find that? Well, go to darknessradio.com, click on the True Crime Tuesday banner, and subscribe now and hear the best in true crime talk radio. Plus, we have a lot of laughs, which sounds like a strange dichotomy as we're talking true crime. But we talk the most fascinating crimes and cases, and we lighten it up with dumb crimes, stupid criminals. That's right. All of you around the United States and the world, we're watching. And when you screw up, we're here to report on it every Tuesday. And check that out again at darknessradio.com. Click on that True Crime Tuesday banner and subscribe. And when you subscribe to True Crime Tuesday, not only are you supporting Tim and I for True Crime Tuesday, but that goes to help us with this show as well for Beyond the Darkness. So you're going a long way to help out. So make sure you go subscribe right now and be a part of the program with us as well. All right, we're back. Cindy Kaza is our guest here this afternoon. And it's great chatting with you, Cindy. Thank you for being so open and forthcoming with your stories. I appreciate it.
Oh, of course. Thanks for having me.
Now, we mentioned, you and I have talked off air, we're buddies, and I'd asked you about trance mediumship. Can you explain to listeners what trance mediumship is and your reluctance to do it?
Yeah. So, I mean, there are many different kind of levels of trance. Technically, all mediumship is a light level of trance if you're doing even what I do. But physical trance is the deepest form of trance. So that's when a medium goes completely kind of out, right? And they have no recollection of what's actually happened. And people are speaking through the medium. And I'm reluctant to that because it just is such a lack of, in my experience, control as to what's happening to your body, to what's coming out of your mouth. And so it does scare me. But I will say this, some of the most evidential mediums are, they'll go into trance and bring out just, it's just phenomenal. I mean, you hear the voice of the person, right? And so I think there is a little bit of a misconception about the true nature of trance. From what I've studied, it's not that the person on the other side is completely entering the body of the medium, right? It's that the blend is so tight and that they're impressed upon the medium so much that the medium actually becomes them. But there's always a slight level of control. So like somebody that's in physical trance, even when they wake up, they might not have a recollection, but the person was not actually in their body. There's something called ectoplasm, if you study mediumship at all, where a lot of times when there's physical trance, the medium is actually speaking through what's called a voice box made of ectoplasm, which the person on the other side, the spirit on the other side, is able to impress their voice upon. So there are a lot of different kind of ideas about trance and all that stuff, but I think it's important for people to know it's very rare that a medium is totally overtaken by a spirit. I think that would be more something where it would be like possession, right? It's not the same thing. So I am a little bit reluctant to do trance. I've studied trance. I've done some trance, but I think for me, I would really have to be in a really safe environment with people that I really trusted to allow myself to be that vulnerable. But I think that there is a lot to be said for people who really are true trance mediums, and it's few and far between, honestly. It's few and far between. It seems to be super trendy right now. Like, I'm a trance medium. I'm studying trance. Look at me go. And I've seen, you know, maybe three true physical trance mediums in the entire time I've been studying mediumship.
It can be really be uncomfortable to watch happen, too. Personally, mm-hmm. we've seen it with a good friend of ours, Chris Fleming, aboard the Queen Mary was overtaken. And Tim, were you there, Tim, by the pool when that happened?
Yeah, I was. Yeah,
we were in, not by the pool outside. We weren't on the deck sunning ourselves on the Queen Mary.
No.
We started channeling. We were down by the first class pool area at the Queen Mary, where the little girl Jackie's ghost and some other spirits are known to be. And there was a very dark character that came through, and it was really, he was battling to not have this thing take over, and he was just as surprised by its ability as we were to hear what was going on and how it was coming through. Very unnerving, very uncomfortable to have happen. I'm curious about that aspect of transmediumship. Do you think that there's a chance that the children that come back with memories of a past life might just be in a state of transmediumship where they're not actually connecting with their dead past lives, but instead the lives of a spirit have come through them and are there. So they're kind of coexisting.
Yeah. I do kind of make that argument because I do a Q&A at the end of all my events and people ask me about past lives and they'll talk about how children will say, guess what, mommy, I was this person and this year. And then the parents will go research it and it turns out to be correct. So I say, well, that's possible, but I challenge that by saying maybe that child is just very, very, very psychic and open and is a medium, and they're having a mediumistic experience where somebody from the other side is impressing themselves upon the child so much that the child actually for a moment becomes that person, right? And so it's actually just transmediumship. And they're having a paranormal experience or experience with somebody from the other side. So, yeah, it's hard to say because it really could be both ways. And so that's
which may explain why multiple people think that they're Marilyn Monroe or Elvis Presley or whatever, right? I mean, they're right. picking up on that residual transmediumship that they're doing.
Or they're just, yeah, they're picking up an aspect of that person's soul, right? They're picking up on the spirit of that person on the other side. So there are a lot of things we don't know. I always say the beauty's in the mystery. There's no way for us to know all the answers. It's just impossible. But there are a lot of possibilities. So it could be they're having a past life kind of memory, but I also really lean towards the fact that or the idea that they're having a mediumistic experience. That's just my personal opinion, you know?
No, that's a great insight. Have you, and if you don't mind sharing them, I'd love to hear, have you ever really been afraid at a location where you felt like you might be in danger by the spirits there?
Well, there are two occasions where I felt very uncomfortable. Would I say I was so afraid? I thought something horrible was going to happen to me. I didn't feel that way, but there's a place called the Patterson Inn in Denver, Colorado, and it was really scary. I mean, I couldn't sleep. I felt the energy was so thick. My chest was heavy. There's so many spirits in that place. It was really uncomfortable. And I was getting ready to leave because I was like, I need to get out of this place. I can't sleep. I can't deal with this anxiety. I can't deal with what I'm feeling. And I just gave it another second. And one spirit, this man came forward and I said, what do you want? I said, you know, I'm trying to sleep. What do you want? And what he said to me kind of just changed everything for me. He said, look, he goes, we just want you to hear our story. We just want to talk to you. You can hear us. He goes, do you know how many people come into this building with their gadgets and their electronics? He's like, they're not actually talking to us. He's like, you can hear us. And at that moment, a light bulb went on and I thought, oh, you know, a lot of these people just really want their stories to be heard, and they'll do anything to kind of get to that point where they'll manipulate electronics. They'll make you feel uncomfortable. They'll move things because they want you to listen to their stories. Right. So initially I felt scared and I felt really uncomfortable and I wanted to leave. But once I allowed that man and to talk to me, that really thick energy dissipated and I felt much better. And there was one other time at the Lumber Baron where I did speak to a man who was a murderer and I didn't like him. And honestly, I think there are many levels on the other side and layers, and some people, when they do things that, you know, aren't good, they have regret and remorse on the other side. This man had no remorse. I mean, he was mocking me. He was laughing at me. He had murdered two people. And I didn't like him. But was I afraid he was going to hurt me? No. So I haven't had really horrifying experiences with demonic entities, which I do believe exist. I haven't had that experience yet. Knock on wood. I hope I don't have to go through something that horrifying, but I might, you know, in this work, doing what I do to help somebody, and that's okay. But I trust in God so much more, and I put all my faith in God, and so I think God is more powerful than anything that can really harm me, and I'm not afraid of the other side. So I think I try to live in that space, and in the land of unicorns and rainbows. That's a nice place to be too, you know? So, you know, I just keep telling myself that's where I am, unicorns and rainbows, you know, makes it easier.
Very cool. You've got, you know, quite a varied career, and I'm curious. I'm sure you run into other mediums and psychics out in the field, and some probably very well known. Without throwing people under the bus, unless you're in the mood to do so, have you ever come across one that is just so fake and fraudulent you can see through it in a heartbeat? Or do you believe that a lot of the people out there that are where they are in their lives because they really are that skilled and talented?
Yeah, I mean, I've not, you know, I would never throw anybody under the bus on TV or on radio. That's not my style. And because I think, too, we get judged, mediums get judged. Somebody will come see one event. Maybe you're having a difficult audience or it's not your best event. And then the person walks away and just talks trash about you. You know, it's like, but the thing is, the mediums that I see on television, I believe they are real. I believe Teresa Caputo is a real medium. I believe Jen Edwards is real. I do believe that, you know, and I think people are so quick to judge people in the spotlight and you know, making assumptions that the only reason that they got to where they're getting is because they've Googled people or they've, you know, done something fraudulent, and that's not the case. So I have not encountered that, and I not yet, you know, and I hope I don't. But I think the people that are out there right now on TV that I've seen, as far as mediumship goes, they're legitimate.
Very cool. Is there an aspect of the work that you do that you love most? I mean, is it one-on-one? Is it the theater style of addressing people? How do you prefer to connect?
I really like I like all of it, really. I mean, I love the theater style, though, because the energy of that is it's just different. It's fun. It's I like having the energy of the audience and people laughing together and crying together and having this experience together. I think that's pretty powerful, right? And I really, really enjoy it. So I guess I like doing private readings as well, but I like the energy of the theater style mediumship. It's just really, really fun. I enjoy it. That's why I do it so much. That's why I'm on the road all the time. You know, if I didn't like it, I wouldn't be doing it. So,
you know, I often thought, why would you go to see these people if there's no guarantee you're going to get a reading? And Tim and I would scratch our heads about it. And, you know, it just seems weird to me. But then we went to a few and I got it. I understood that, you know what, it was validating, even though I might not have been one to get the personal meeting, you know, reading and have that connection, watching things unfold, you know, as an example, I was at Phenomenology in Gettysburg with Chip Coffee, the medium.
And I watching, love Chip. He's my buddy. I love him.
He's great. Yeah. And we're watching, and people will say, oh, fake fraud, blah, blah, blah. But I watched him do something that he's, and I was directing. I was walking around with the microphone for him for the audience. And he goes, over here, I'm getting somebody, but I'm seeing it's a gunshot wound. And blah, blah, blah. And he starts to give away. And this woman raises her hand. I give her the microphone. And I'm listening to the people in the rows behind him. And then he gets done doing the reading, and I can see they're reacting. And I go, hold on, Chip. The woman right behind her has something, and I hand the microphone to her. And he was like a row of dominoes. If you talk about synchronicity and the other side working together in perfect concert, they put together these three people, all had a similar story, all row to row.
But it was like to each other. Yeah.
Right, but he would be like, and then, you know, this was your story, but who was the Hispanic boy that was with him? And she'd be like, I don't know. And then the woman behind her was one that said, well, my brother was killed and he had a Hispanic boy. That was my nephew. And then he would go through and give that reading and connect. And then he'd go, but what was the, you know, what was the yellow VW Beetle? And she's like, I don't know. And the woman behind her is like, my God, my brother was killed in a, you know, shooting accident. He owned a VW Beetle. And it was, to me, that was one of the most knockdown. I didn't need a reading to enjoy watching somebody connect so deeply and spiritually with others. So it became, I love going to those shows now just to watch other people and see how their lives are changed and you know, their reactions to those type of situations. So that to me can be equally as rewarding. I don't necessarily always need the connection for myself to have that holy shit moment. You know, I mean, this is something that you can see it and validate and get that answer to, is there something out there, by watching how other people get their connections.
Yeah. And it's about having that experience together as a group. Right. And I agree with you. I mean, and I love Chip, by the way. He's just, hopefully we'll work together soon. We were hoping to do something together at this show that I had in August, but he's going to be out of town. But he's an awesome person, and he's an awesome medium and psychic. I mean, he's awesome. So
we're back with Medium Cindy Kaza. You can find her information at MediumCindyKaza, KAZA.com, and get a chance to see her in person as she travels the world. And if people want a one-on-one reading with you, do you do them by phone, by Skype, by smoke signal? How can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, I do phone, Skype, FaceTime, but just being perfectly transparent, I will not be doing any new private readings until next year because my tour schedule is so heavy, just so people know that ahead of time, you know.
No, that's great. But is the best way to do it checking out your website, Medium Cindy Kaza?
Yes. Kaza? Yeah, sorry. MediumCindyKaza.com. Yep.
Okay. So that's the best way to check it out. So you do fill up quickly. So it's a good idea if you want that reading. And listen, folks, Christmas is right around the corner. You're looking for the perfect holiday gift for a friend or relative. Something for the person that already has everything. Why not go ahead and book one of those mediumship readings for into the new year? That'll be a perfect gift to make that connection and make a difference. I think it's a cool gift idea, and it's something that they won't see coming or expect. So try to get in there and get it scheduled and signed up with Cindy. Cindy, I know we don't have much time left together. Tell me some of your favorite stories of these abilities. What are some of the most standout, amazing moments you've had being a medium?
Oh, gee, that's I travel around the world to interview different healers in different parts of the world. So, I mean, this isn't really about me personally and my messages, but when I started doing this work professionally, I thought, well, what else is out there? You know, like there's got to be healers and mediums from all over the place. This isn't just something that happens to me. It's everywhere. So I spent a lot of time in Indonesia, Southeast Asia, Malaysia, Singapore, and I met with a couple of healers over there. And on my website, you can see some of the videos that I've made. They're really short, kind of, you know, quick 3-minute videos. But I've seen some healers over there do some crazy stuff. I've seen people light paper on fire with their hands. I've seen people have smoke coming out of their hands. I've had my wrist burned with somebody's finger. Just really, really, you know, insane energetic transfer stuff. So I think that I love doing what I do, and I'm always amazed by the messages coming through that it's even possible. But when I see things like that in other countries where people are moving things without touching them, and you're seeing telekinesis and all that crazy stuff, that blows my mind. So I really hope, you know, one of my goals is later in life to be able to spend a good chunk of time over in Southeast Asia, just kind of studying and learning more from these healers, because it's fascinating. There's so much out there that I've never even seen in America. I've never seen people do that here, you know? So I think that I'm really, really inspired by seeing a lot of that stuff, because it's right in front of your eyes. I mean, have you ever seen anybody light paper on fire with their hands, Dave? It's pretty crazy.
Not without a match involved, no. I haven't. No. I would love to see that kind of focus and power and ability. Yeah, that stuff fascinates the hell out of me. That's why I love to travel. I go every year. We go to a foreign trip. I'll go to Germany, Prague, Australia, you know, Ireland, Scotland, France, just a chance to see these different places and hear about the culture and the way that they look at aspects of the paranormal. But what you're doing, I'd love to see that as well. And you've got those videos. You've got a lot of that available. And where, again, are the best places for people to see the work you're doing and your documentation of these places?
On my website, mediumcindykaiser.com, there's a video link. And the videos are all videos from my travels. You know, they're amateurishly edited by me, so I apologize if they're, you know, they're not perfect. But I have a lot more footage that I'm working on editing right now as well. So you can check it out there. And also my Facebook page, Medium Cindy Kaiser, like me on Facebook. I have a lot of videos on Facebook that aren't on my website from my travels. And, you know, as I was in Indonesia, what I would do is do quick edits and post them. So you can check it out there too. So it's pretty, in my opinion, it's probably the most fascinating thing I've seen in this field thus far. It just blows my mind. So, yeah.
Where do you say you think is probably the most, and I hate to use the term because it sounds overused, but the most magical location you've ever been? Whether it's, you know, here in the United States or out on the road, where have you just felt like, a connection with the area like you've never felt before?
Oh, that's a tough question. I mean, I guess I can go back to Indonesia. It's probably the most magical place I've ever been in my life. In the United States. Geez, have you ever been to Lilydale, Dave? It's pretty cool place.
Yeah, sure.
So, I mean, I know it's an interesting place. But every time I go there, I don't know. It's got a vibe about it that I really, really like. I just went there for a couple of days, like a week and a half ago, and I just, every time I go there, I just feel really, really connected to that place. So, yeah, it's pretty magical. I think people in this field that want to, or anybody, should just go there and check it out. It's pretty cool. They have classes all summer long where you can study mediumship, healing, and it's a cool place.
Now, in a weird bit of synchronicity, I'm just going to throw this at you. In Minnesota, there's a comedy club in Lilydale, Minnesota, which is right down the street from me. So you got to get yourself booked out here. Yeah, I wouldn't kid you about a thing like that.
I believe you. Hey, I'm down.
Very cool.
Let's
I know you got to go because You're in Pleasanton, California today at Tommy T's. You're going to be performing. Thank you for taking some time out with us. And I look forward to a long friendship here, Cindy. I think we'll be visiting with you as you hit the road and travel. And please keep us up to date on the amazing things you see and the people you talk to. Would you do that for us?
Absolutely. And thanks so much. I appreciate it, Dave. It's nice talking to you.
Great chatting with you. Medium Cindy Kaza, K-A-Z-A, and Cindy, C-I-N-D-Y, so you can find her very easily on Facebook or on the website mediumcindykaza.com. Well, that's our time with our guest this afternoon, Tim. She was a delight, wasn't she?
Yes, indeed.
Very sweet young lady. Let's get to some Parashare stories.
All right.
We had to split up how we were doing the show this week because of our visit with Diamond Dallas Page yesterday, mm-hmm. which I'll tell you, I got some really beautiful emails from people that told me that they've really enjoyed hearing Dallas, his story, and were inspired by it. And they're going to actually look into the DDP yoga and make a difference. And like I said, folks, it's not just an advertisement. We believe it's important and it can make a difference in people's lives.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Our first email begins, "Dear Mrs. Schrader and Dennis." How about that for an intro, Tim?
I just want to know what law firm is trying to contact us.
I'm writing you from the first state. That little slice of blink and you miss it land between Maryland and New Jersey. Like many others, your appearance on Talk is Jericho is what hooked me as a fan, and I've been downloading it ever since. I'd like to share with you and your listeners two experiences. Growing up in a very conservative and religious family, at least on my mom's side, things of a paranormal nature were not really discussed outside of where one goes when they die, if they're good, and other more toasty destination if one was bad. Still, the idea of spirits as well as cryptids fascinated me when I was very young. I recall checking out many books from our town's public library to learn more, especially a book on Bigfoot that had a still from the Patterson-Gimlin film on the cover. Now, in 2009, my mom passed away after a bout with aggressive form of cancer. It moved fast and reduced her to a shell of her former self before ultimately taking her life. She was my rock growing up and taught me many life lessons. About a year or so after she died, I found myself thinking about her a bit, mainly because I was lousing things up as a new dad myself and was missing her guidance in a simple but vivid dream. Well, I had a very simple but vivid dream. In that dream, I found myself in the kitchen of my house in the early morning. The sun was coming over the horizon, streaming through the half-circle window on the front of the house. I looked toward the entrance to the kitchen from the foyer, and there was Mom. She was backlit with the morning sunbeam shining behind her. She was dressed in one of her Sunday church outfits, one that I'm pretty sure I have a picture of she and I in together. I wanted to say something, but I couldn't. All I got was a knowing, reassuring smile that conveyed, "You can do this," as she turned and vanished. Woke up feeling a peace, and whether that was a legitimate dream visitation or a product of my longing to see her, I don't know, but I like to think it was definitely the former. Well, I totally think that was a dream visitation. Tim, you've had more than I've had in that experience, but to have that kind of vivid moment and vision, especially in that moment of need, what do you think?
I think it was, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
My second story comes from my youth. I think I must have been around 10 at the time. One day when I was outside playing in a lot between my house and our neighbors, I got the feeling I was being watched. We lived in a somewhat rural area with railroad tracks behind our backyard and woods on the other side of the tracks. From time to time, transients would walk the tracks, so it wasn't uncommon to see an unfamiliar face traveling the railroad. But this felt different, very, very different. I looked around, and that's when I saw it, a huge, dark shape, probably about 10 yards a bit into the woods. It was motionless, about 7 feet tall, with no visible neck. I quickly thought back to the stories included in that Bigfoot book that I would borrow from the library. Big and dark, check. No neck, double check. Kind of pointy head, triple check. Knowing I had seen a Bigfoot, I took off and went into the house. I didn't tell anyone what I saw. As I mentioned before, my parents weren't the kind to believe in this kind of stuff. I stayed inside the next day and had put the incident behind me until I hit our backyard and I got that uneasy feeling again. There it was again, the same silent forest sentinel I had seen observing me the other day. My reaction was the same. Haul ass out of there. I took a page from the Dave Schrader playbook. Generally avoid all of the out of doors until my panic has gone away. Have I become that guy, Tim?
You have, yeah.
Am I the poster child for indoorism?
Yeah.
Hey, that's, we should, I should definitely trademark that, indoorism with Dave Schrader. A week or so later, I was in the backyard with my dad and saw the same shape. I figured I needed another set of eyes to confirm what I had been seeing, so I concocted some reason to get him to look in that direction of the entity. Hey, Dad, what do you think that is over there? I asked. The old man replied, that's nothing. Let's go look. Oh, now that's confusing. It's nothing. Let's go look. At this point, I was getting very worried, but didn't let on. Hey, I was with my dad, and like any young kid, your dad is invincible. As we approached, the feelings of dread increased, but we were quickly replaced with ever-increasing waves of moronosity. Oh, and did I mention that I was nearsighted and often played outside without my glasses so I would not break them? The creature I thought I saw was, in fact, an old, run-down, moss-covered utility shed. Or it could have been an outhouse, as it was narrow and tall from a business that had been on the other side of the tracks, but had been demolished years before I was born. Over time, the brush and trees had hidden the shed and had been cut away by the railroad to keep it clear, and I guess the most recent cutback had revealed the dilapidated structure. My overreactive imagination, in combination with the books I was reading, had, to use a pro wrestling phrase Tim knows, worked myself into a chute. Whether or not a true Bigfoot creature roams the woods of Delaware remains unknown, but I can tell you, my friends, that the legend of Big Shed is quite, quite real. Oh, keep up the great work, and I wish you much continued success. Health, peace, love, and pizza rolls. Just call me the Delaware Doofus. I think you earned that title well, Delaware Doofus. Oh, God, that's a good one.
Into a sheet.
I took a picture recently as I was out of doors, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Watering my, tending my garden, as one says, mm-hmm. but legitimately tending my garden. We're growing stuff, Tim. I'm very excited. I've got green beans, zucchini, tomatoes, Tim, and mm-hmm. cucumbers in my garden. Uh-huh. And I'm out watering my garden. Mm-hmm. And as I walk back, I notice what appears to be a huge footprint in the mud in my yard.
Bigfoot.
Well, what else would it be? It was huge. And it was bare. Oh. And I took a picture of it, and I sent it over to our buddy Eric Altman.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, looks like a tree stump. And I reached down and touched it, and sure enough, it was an old tree stump in the shape of it. And he goes, but hey, you just found big tree stump. So
yeah.
Congratulations on that.
Good on
you. So I've created my own cryptid, Tim. Oh. Big tree stump.
Big tree stump.
Apparently overshadowed by Big Shed.
Hmm.
Dear Dave and Tim, hey, I know those guys. I just picked up your show through Podcast One after needing something to listen to at work while in the field, living in Australia. Go on, do that poor Aussie accent, Dave. I can only get podcasts, so I'm playing catch up. What do you mean, poor Aussie accent? I think my Australian accent is pretty spot on, mate.
That's right.
All right. I won't go into it now. I feel shamed. I feel Aussie shamed, Tim.
You have been Aussie.
I wanted, however, to let you know about a couple of experiences I've had with the paranormal. First, when I was 11, I was away on a school camp, not band camp, and we were supposed to write letters to our parents saying how we felt about them. What kind of hippy-dippy shit are they doing in Australia?
I have no idea. Get in touch with your feelings.
Right. Remember, this was 1982 in the Catholic education system here, but as I was writing the letter, I felt this feeling that something was off and not right. When I got home, my mother informs me that my grandmother, Dad's mother, had passed away while I was at camp. At the time, I didn't register that the two were connected. Then a few years later, my middle brother and I got to talking and discovered we both got this feeling at the same time. Since then, we both had that feeling a few times, which then results in him calling me and both of us doing the family phone round. Years later, I was on a ghost tour of Maitland Jail. I had been in a bad situation and had tried for the umpteenth time, Tim, that's just after a Brazilian, an umpteenth time to commit suicide. So my youngest brother and his wife took me out to get me away from the problem. At the end of the night, the psychic leading the tour offered everyone a palm reading. I asked my sister-in-law to let me do it for shits and grins. The psychic looked at my hand and looked me in the eye and said, "Are you seriously kidding?" We were all confused, and I said, "What's wrong?" To which she replied in a lower voice, "You're a medium, and you think it's funny." After I finally convinced her I wasn't, she said that I had been trained right from a young age. I could be amazing. I still didn't get a palm reading or a job offer, though. Another time, I was living in my grandparents' house, again, Dad's parents. Both had been deceased for a few years. My dad had just passed away 6 months prior, and I was in a bad place. Well, I would walk from the master bedroom to the kitchen or through the house, and every now and then I'd catch a scent of my grandmother's perfume or my grandfather's tobacco. One occasion, my oldest daughter was 18 months and had a bit of trouble sleeping. She would wake up and cry and be inconsolable for a half an hour. Then she would settle in and it would start all over again. I finally had enough after she said goodnight to me and looked past my shoulder and said, "Goodnight, Pa." My dad was Pa. That night, she woke up not screaming, but playing with someone or something. I finally got her settled and just loud enough, I whispered, "For F's sakes, Dad, play with her during the day, but let her bloody sleep at night, please. I know you loved her, but give us a fair go." The nighttime disruptions ended. Then, but my oldest, what's going on with my voice? I'm suddenly turning into Barney Fife, Tim.
No.
The nighttime disruptions ended. But my oldest, who is now in her early 20s, has told me she has seen people or spirits that no one else sees. She unfortunately doesn't like this and tries to block it out. Anyway, this is getting so long, so I'll end by saying I love Beyond the Darkness and I am a new fan, even telling my daughter to listen in. Keep up the good work, and that comes from Darren. Well, Darren, thank you very much for listening, and I'm glad that your umpteenth attempts did not work and that you're still here with us.
Where do we sign up for Feelings Camp?
That's, right.
Yeah.
Dear Tim, I sure do love you lots, especially when you wear your matching parrot head MeUndies underwear.
Oh, my.
Your pal, Dave, the guy everyone addresses first in their emails. There we go. That'll be the email I'd send to you, Tim.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Hey there, Big Red Machine Dave and Macho Man Tim.
Wow.
First off, I'm DJ, and this story I have to tell you happened to me about a year ago and has left me changed, turning me from a semi-believer to a full-blown believer of the supernatural. Now, it's kind of long, so be warned, but I feel the entire story is important because of how weird the situation was. I'm going to relay it exactly as it happened to me. Let me prepare by clearing my current Peter Brady vocal cord issues. Mm-hmm. I'll have a swig of water, Tim.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. Mm-hmm. Ooh, quite loud.
That helps me clear. I was driving west from St. Louis to Kansas City on I-70. It was 2 a.m. in the morning. Anyone who's made that drive knows there's nothing but trees, farmland, and a few cities randomly dotting the landscape. But otherwise, it's just hilly, two-lane highways. It had begun to rain and was a sprinkle at first, then grew gradually into a full-on deluge, complete with thunder and lightning and very low visibility. As such, I had slowed myself down from 70 to 45, hoping I'd eventually get out of the darkness and storm. As I passed by an exit off the highway, I saw what I thought was a woman. She had long, dark hair and pale skin. She wore dark blue jeans, boots, and a gray tank top. She was getting soaked as she walked along the highway with her hair down. "I'm going to regret doing this," I said to myself, but I pulled over anyway, stepped on my brakes a few times to let her know I'd give her a ride. She ran to the car, opened the door. I then noticed her skin wasn't just pale. It looked almost movie pale. She had piercing blue eyes and smiled at me as she got into the car. "Thanks," she said. "No problem. I can give you a ride to the next stop. Hopefully that's out of the storm," I said, and I pulled back onto the road. She just smiled at me and gave me a brief nod. as we drove down the highway. The radio in those wastelands basically consist of extremely country music or Christian bluegrass stuff, so I had been riding in silence. Now, out of the side of my eye, I could see her staring at me, smiling thinly as we drove. So I looked over at her briefly and then back at the road as I decided against my own better judgment to ask her a question. So, where are you headed? It's a long way from St. Louis, and we still have about 150 miles to Kansas City. Where are you going to Columbia? I asked her. She just smiled, then looked forward and asked me a question of her own. You don't always randomly pick up hitchhikers, do you? Uh-oh, Tim. I don't like the sense of this story. I don't like where it's going. I'm starting to feel all serial killer-y.
I was going to say either that or I feel like there should be some really bad disco music in the background. One or the other. Yeah.
You don't always randomly pick up hitchhikers, do you? I was a bit puzzled by the question and avoidance of my answer, but shook my head. Nope, you're actually the first. You're not some crazed lunatic or killer or anything, I said, as I nervously laughed. She tilted her head and grinned slightly wider. If I said yes, what would you do? I glanced at her again as the lightning flashed for a split second. I swore her smile grew far wider, like a literal Cheshire grin. But in the blink of an eye, she looked normal again. So I shrugged and answered, well, I suppose now I'd hope you'd give me the benefit of the doubt, considering I am giving you a ride out of the storm. She laughed a little and didn't say anything for a few more minutes. Now, keep in mind at this point, I was thinking what a dumb freaking mistake I made picking up a hitchhiker because she was pretty. Now I'm going to be stabbed or something crazy, most likely. She looked over at me again and tilted her head. Ah, you think I'm cute. Do I make you nervous? She said. You read minds too? You're a psycho mind reader hitchhiker, I said, joking, trying to lighten the mood. As the rest stop was 5 miles ahead, I was almost through what I was sure was a potential murder of myself. No, I can just tell. You know, you can pull over. I can pay you back for giving me a ride if you like. I don't know if this is a bow chicka wow wow or a ch-ch-ch kind of story, Tim.
It's a hard read right now. Yeah, yeah.
Should we keep reading? I don't know.
I think so. I think it's kind of choose your own adventure right now. You go you go to the left and it's a bow chicka wow wow. You go to the right and it's a cha-cha-cha. So, yeah.
Now, how she had said... Now, how she said that led me to believe one thing. She wasn't talking about money. I looked over at her, and she was beautiful, extremely so, maybe supernaturally so. I'd never seen a woman so pretty, but I also had this fear, this something in the pit of my stomach, which told me if I did anything with this woman, it would end me somehow. I felt like an impala being staked by a lioness. Nah, I mean, you're pretty, but I'm not about that. I just want to get you out of the rain, you know, do a good deed and all that, I said nervously. She laughed loudly again, and the rain began to lessen. You can pull over here, she said. Are you sure? I mean, we're almost to the rest stop. It's only 1 mile ahead. Yeah, I'm sure, she said. So I pulled over, as she asked, and she opened the door and got out. She leaned into the window and smiled at me. You're a good guy, DJ. You didn't try to take advantage of me, and I appreciate that. She knew my name. I never told her this, by the way. But you should be careful when you pick up strangers on the side of the road. Not all of them are as nice as I am. And Dave, I kid you not. After she said that, her eyes, which were already exceptionally bright blue, seemed to get brighter for a moment. I smiled and waved, then pulled away quickly. I checked out my rearview mirror, and she was standing there still, smiling and waved goodbye at me. Now, 20 miles down the road, I'm still freaked out slightly, thinking I dodged a major insane bullet, when on the other side of the road I see the same woman, the same clothes, the same hair, the same look, the same eyes. She smiled widely at me as I passed, and it was a huge, unnatural smile, an unsettling smile, and one that I'll never forget. There's no way she got ahead of me, as I didn't have any cars pass me on the road. It was only two lanes going west, so I would have seen someone pass by me. I don't know what she was, if it was a ghost or something else, but I know for a fact she wasn't natural, and she could have easily ended me. I feel sorry for the person who tries to take advantage of her, though. That's for sure. Well, thanks for reading my story. It feels good to tell it. Ooh, damn it. Now I kind of wish we would have kept that for a creepy version of our theater of the mind. We had a hitchhiker ghost story earlier, but that one was chilling.
That one, yeah.
Yeah. Tim, let me just say, what would you have done? Sexy wet blonde in the car offers to, you know, settle up with you, Tim.
Settle up with me?
You know, let me pay you for this. Do you pull over bow chicka wow wow?
Do you have a problem with the fan in the background there? What's that?
Hey, I'm giving you the one-eyed wink, Tim. And the click, the old click.
The click.
Yeah, the click, Tim. You know,
What, you giving me Shawn Michaels and Diesel? Who are you giving me?
I don't know. I don't know, Tim.
Huh.
Greetings. Oh, yes, go ahead. Are you going to answer me now?
What am I? I find it hard to believe that DJ didn't do anything with her, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah. I think he's being modest. Yeah.
All right, Tim. Shall we read another of our little stories here?
Sure.
So you think that he took ghostly head, Tim? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
What?
There might have been a little,
A little gun action?
little hand on man action, Tim, do you think?
A little what?
Ghostly?
Maybe.
All right.
I'm just saying, I don't think all it was as pure as a driven snow.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Huh. Hi, Dave. Nope, no other name, just me. Hi, Dave. I'm a resident of Apple Valley, Minnesota, and a longtime fan. I'm wondering if you may have any information on witches that may shed light on something that happened to me as a child. I grew up in Apple Valley and have lived there in the same home since I was born. I had an encounter as a child at night with something that I believe was a witch. I'm now 45. And however, when I was about 8 or 10 years old, I was awoken by something hovering above me that appeared to be a disfigured, hideous woman. I know you hate the lack of proper punctuation in paragraphs, so please bear with me. Anyway, I perceived this thing to be what I would consider to be a witch for all practical purposes. I was on my stomach in bed when she began to dig both hands, nails first into my back. Her hands felt like she was disturbing my internal organs, and she was enjoying watching me squirm in pain. I've had back issues ever since then. I've never told anyone about this out of fear of ridicule. I was just wondering if you happen to know of any similar encounters of this creature that it might have been. And no, I wasn't sleeping or dreaming. I was wide awake during the entire terrifying process. Any information on the subject would be most appreciated, sir. Thank you. And that's from Paige in Apple Valley. Well, Paige, I think that sometimes these things may be not what you're thinking they are, but whatever it is, whether it's alien or demonic, it's taking on a form of something that it knows may terrify you. So I've never heard of that before, and I'm sure if our listeners have, we will hear from them. So email me, dave@darknessradio.com, dave@darknessradio.com, and share your stories if you're familiar with that, if you've had an experience like that as well. Hey, Dave and Tim. There you are, Tim. I knew you'd be remembered. Greetings from Indiana. I've been listening to your show off and on since 2007 and currently listen to your show when I'm at work, so thank you for keeping me entertained. A few years ago, I had one of the most surreal dreams that I've ever had and has stayed with me ever since. The dream begins with me walking around a museum, and I come across a wall on my right with a glass case full of Beatles memorabilia. On my left was a TV playing short clips of the Beatles coming to America, their concerts, and so on. I remember being more interested in the memorabilia and being amazed at all the stuff I was looking at. Past the case, I see a hallway going off my right and seeing some concert posters and portraits of them hanging on the wall. I turn the corner to go down the hallway when I see at the end of the hall that it ends with the outdoors. I see that it is a beautiful day, and I feel that I'm walking towards a park with endless green grass and trees, and it feels so warm and inviting. While I'm walking in the grass, I see a picnic table up ahead and some people there. As I got closer, I see there's a man talking to three people, and I sit down across from the man to try to listen to him, and I see from the corner of my eye a couple of other people sitting to my right. I don't remember what the man was talking about, but I noticed that he had an accent, and three of the people he was talking to listened to him attentively. He suddenly turns back and me, and I'm shocked to see that it's John Lennon. He tells me, "And that's why I forgive my killer." He then smiles at me and then turns back to the three people he was talking to, and the dream ends. I've been wanting to send this story to you guys, and I finally got up the courage to do so. I hope you enjoy it, and maybe some other listeners will send in their stories of dead celebrity dreams. That would be really cool to hear. Thank you so much, and that comes from Heather. P.S. What is the music you use for Monday episodes when it comes back from a break? It's hauntingly beautiful. I don't know. What music do you usually... I think it's... Is it just our theme you're playing, Tim?
No. It's in the middle of the... In the middle of the episode. It's just a little non-commercial ditty I play.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Dave and Tim, listening to your show about rock and roll ghosts and such, I had to share. I'm a big fan of Phil Lynott and Thin Lizzy. I live in Scotland, but took a holiday in Dublin in 2006, what would have been the 20th anniversary of Phil's death. We went to the grave and paid our respects. Then we went to the city center and popped into a pub called Bruxelles. I swear to this day that I saw a man that looked exactly like Phil Lynott, sat in the corner, who raised a glass, looked right at me, and smiled. I looked away for a second to say to my friend, "Does that guy look like Phil Lynott or what?" And he said, "What guy?" Nobody was there. The space I looked at was empty. Speaking to guys that lived at the scene, turned out that seat I looked at was where Phil Lynott would sit and greet fans, musicians, groupies, the whole nine yards. He said that nobody sat in that seat, but people who believed in the music would be able to see Phil if he was in the mood. Phil Lynott to this day remains one of my heroes and a man that I look up to. I like to think he would approve of how I paid attention to his life, and that's why I saw him that day. Can I prove it? No, I don't need to. Spirit of Phil Lynott is strong enough and sharp enough to be seen by those who got him. Long live Thin Lizzy. Love the show. I'm totally addicted. Be safe. And that comes from Tony C. in Scotland, Tim. Two rock and roll ghost dreams. Or not dreams, but ghost rock and roll ghost encounters. That's pretty cool.
It's the first time I've ever heard Long Live Thin Lizzy.
Really?
I did. First time for everything.
All right, well, that's it for this week. We will be back next week. And remember, you can reach our Beyond voicemail. Call us in the Great Beyond at 651-300-4977. We'll incorporate those calls next week on the show. 651-300-4977. And remember to listen to me this week on Midnight in the Desert. You can find more information at midnightinthedesert.com/hunger to subscribe in the month of July and help us with our campaign for Second Harvest Heartland. For Tim Dennis, I'm Dave Schrader. You've been listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info, and if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange any time. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.